Our Father, we thank you again for this day, and we're grateful for the Word of God that's been taught in these premises. Thank you for every song that's been sung, and now we open it again for the hour of worship, and we pray the Holy Spirit of God would anoint in a way that every heart here will be blessed. And dear Father, the message again this day falls in line with what we've been preaching the last five Sundays in a series of messages, but a little bit different, so off to the end, and I pray you'd honor yourself even through the message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 9 to begin with. Psalms chapter 9. Now, I want to read one verse, and I'm going to read a couple through the scriptures in Old Testament and New Testament to get the format and the groundwork of the message today for just a few minutes. You know, we live in an age today. For the last five Sundays, we preached on the message about, you know, heaven. Heaven is not our... Heaven is a place to go, but I can't even think of the title of it now. Help me out, Sister Barbara. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Thank you so much. But the other, for 5 weeks in a row, I preached on that subject. Now, today, I don't know why, God's had me come back. Now, sometimes you would preach this message first and then preach the series second, but it didn't work out this way. But I want to preach today, as you come through here, things hell will never have. We live in an age today where people do not believe in hell, they say. Amazes me, some people say they don't believe in hell, and they don't mind telling some people when they're angry to go there. They must believe something happening. There must be something about it that they know is bad for someone to get upset with someone and use language like they do in our day. Then we have some say that they believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. But if you're a Bible believer, you've got to believe in both. God uses the same terminology about heaven as he does about hell, as he does about heaven, when it comes to duration and things like that. I think about, before we read our verses today, I think about the boy, little Bobby. He arrived at a football game late one day, and a friend said to him, said, "Bobby, why are you so late?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I had to make a decision this morning where I wanted to go to church or go to this football game." And he said, "Well, what took you so long?" He said, "Well, I was thinking about how to do it, and I decided I was going to flip a coin. Heads, I'd go to church. Tails, I'd go to the football game." He said, "Well, flipping the coin shouldn't take you long to do that. Why it takes you long?" He said, "Well, it took me 45 times to flip before I got what I wanted to do." But you know, that's about the way people look at heaven. They just want it to be there so they can go if there is in such a place, and even sometimes believe there is, but don't even believe God about the God who created this universe and also what we see in heaven, and even Jesus Christ preparing a place for us. But I'm glad to know that I don't have to worry about going to hell today. I'm glad to know, studying this book for 54 years, ladies and gentlemen, God's convinced my heart that the day I got saved down through the years, that he's not only given me grace to be saved, but he's given me grace that I could also travel this road and do what I'm doing for the glory of God and realize there's not a place. But I believe anybody who believes there's a hell is going to be a soul winner. They're going to try their best to get somebody to know Christ as Savior, because there is a place, this place, ladies and gentlemen, and there is. You can't describe how bad it is. Now, I want you to look at me as we go through some scripture here about this. It said in Psalms chapter 9 in verse 10, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." In other words, God has laid it forth. There's a side of life that's wicked. There's a side of life that's not what it should be, and holiness is unholy. And he says there's coming a day they're going to be turned into this particular place. If you look with me in Isaiah chapter 5, turn over chapter 5, and down about 14, you'll find that God says this to Isaiah. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." Now he's talking about the wicked side of life, where people enjoy so much to wallow in this life. They consider it to be great, you know. They consider it the fact that they had that it's without measure, and their glory and the multitude and their pomp and the good time they have and so forth. He said, but there's going to come a time they're going to realize this is not a place where you glory in going to. And if you didn't even know, the person doesn't know they're going there because they just don't know anything about God. This is their destiny. God has proved that over and over. And I'm just going to give you a few verses of Scripture. There's many verses in the Scripture that God shows the contrast between heaven and hell. And he said, the thing about it is, it enlarges itself. Now, as we look at it and go through, you're going to find out that God didn't make hell for human beings anyhow. He made for the devil and his angels. But since he's destroyed the devils and the angels that fell in hell, then those who follow after their ways on earth to follow satanic means will be there also without trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 10, we'll go to the New Testament to get one or two verses. In Matthew chapter 10, if you look over about 27 verse 28, Jesus is talking. He said, when I tell you in darkness, or what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. Now, Jesus said, what I teach you, what I tell you in darkness, or you might say in the silence of this world where others cannot see, doesn't he see what you see? I'm teaching you in the quietness of the hour. I'm teaching you when you study my word. I'm teaching you when you're along with me. I'm teaching you, and what I teach you, he tells us, to speak in the light. You may learn it in behind the scenes somewhere or another. You may come to me it's not in darkness in the sense that he's, because Christ is light, but he said that you learn that in atmosphere where the world doesn't understand it, but when you learn it from wherever you're at, you come into this world because he's the light of the world, and we have to reflect that light so others might know Jesus Christ as Savior. And then watch what he said in verse 28. He said, and fear not them which kill the body. Now listen, those who would try to destroy you for preaching that which I gave you in the silence of a togetherness when you were with me in prayer studying my word, he said, fear not, because there's going to be some fear come to you. If you go soul winning much, you understand what that means. He says, there's a fear that's there. And he said, fear not them which kill the body out of it, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, there's no way in this world a man can be honest and read this book and not believe there's a hell. Because you believe God wrote this book, he told us about something we don't know anything about as far as life is concerned, except what he tells us here in his precious word. If you look in chapter 25 of Matthew, over a few verses, in verse 25, he says in verse 41, then shall he say to them on the left, he's talking about the judgment of the nation and so forth, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That goes to show me here that this was made for humanity to start with. Had not Adam and Eve made a mess in the Garden of Eden, we wouldn't be worrying about this place. But here he says it was made for the devil's angels, and since they did do what they do, and since those who follow after them through procreation do what they do, this place is as real as you being here today, probably more real than that, because it's going to last forever. In verse 46, he said, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous, he said, unto life eternal. If you look with me in Mark chapter 9, and I'm hurrying through these, in Mark chapter 9, down about verse 43 and 44. Notice, Jesus is telling us about this place. And I'm going to just paraphrase over it quickly. He said in verse 43, he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If it is better to thee to enter into maimed than enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell into the fire that never shall be quenched. He says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Then he said, if thy foot offend thee, the same thing. If thy eye offend thee, the same thing. He says again in verse 48, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now, it's amazing that our modern day intellectualism, people trying to take those phrases and talk about, well, we understand a little bit better now. It don't mean that the fire is going to be there forever and ever and ever. Well, what did Jesus talk about? He said it would never be put out. He was using a situation where they knew, of course, of the vat of Hinnom. He knew that's there where they dumped their trash and so forth, and that fire did burn all the time. But they got looking at that thinking, well, that could go out one day. Well, God's son used that example to preach about hell, and he said the hell he's talking about is never going to go out. That's what he's trying to get them to see. And people try to read it, and they say, well, I read that, but I don't really believe there's such a place as this, or if it is, it won't last forever. And they try to give you purgatory and a lot of other places that where it's going to change. When you draw your last breath here, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, hear me close, and I said out of love, when you draw and I draw my last breath here, I'm either right to go with God or I'm not. There's no hope after the last breath is drawn in this life. And the thing about it, it's hard to get people to understand that because they just don't want to do that. And of course, you look in Luke chapter 16, and he gives us another illustration of two men who lived and they died. And you know who they are. It's Lazarus, and he talked about the rich man. And we see in Luke chapter 16 that he says this, down about verse 23. He said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, that's a rich man. In hell he lifted up his eyes, been in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. God gives us a record here of where the two men died. He gives us an insight, pull back the shades about hell, more so than we've seen before, and he shows us two chambers there, upper chamber and lower chamber. Both places are called Hades in the Old Testament, Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament. And here he shows us that there's a lower part of this for the fire and brimstones, and a higher part, Abraham's bosom. And we see this man died, and the Bible says, and Jesus says he gave us this story. This is not a make-up story. This is not a parable here. He gives some names, and he's talking about that this is where he went, and he was in fire, tormented. Now, take it at face value. And then I see in Revelation chapter 20, if you turn there, and those who were with us the last few weeks, we looked at some of this on Wednesday, have been with us on Wednesday night. If you look in chapter 20, you find this said, in verse 13 through 15, John said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead, and he delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That means that those who've never been born again, and they're the only ones who have their name in the Lamb's book of life. That means if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, ladies and gentlemen, you're not headed toward your home called heaven. You're headed towards this place. Now, God loves us so much, he didn't leave us ignorant about this. He documented it over and over and over again. And I think most people here may be saved. But this is on Ustream right now. This is also on the radio in a few minutes. And therefore, we need to understand when this time comes. We don't preach a lot about it, but you got to preach on it if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God. And so here, people say, well, if I'd known that, I wouldn't come today. That's the reason I didn't announce it. Amen. But what I'm saying, literally, this is as real as heaven itself. Now, when I see these seven places that God talks about here, that's hell. Seven places, he shows us different aspects of it, Old and New Testament. Shows that he didn't change it in the New Testament and say it in the Old Testament. And what he said, he gave us enough information that we can relate the two together, even though one in one language is called one way, and in another language, in the Greek, is called new, and the new another way in the New Testament. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everything in our physical world possesses certain qualities that make it what it essential is, and that's what you have to understand. God made this with certain qualities, and it's there for the purpose. Even says death and hell is going to be raised and cast the grave and death, hell, and the grave is going to be raised up and put in the lake of fire, we just read in Revelation. So, to give you understand what I'm approaching about, water is made up of two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. And if you try to mix any other way, you won't have water. You'll have something totally indifferent. God has a formula for salvation. You mix it any other way, and it won't be what God said. God tells us there's things about hell. You try to mix it any other way, and it makes it may minimize of what we think, but it don't change the depth of this thing, what God is saying. When you think about the way God has made us, in a real sense, we recognize things in the physical world by the characteristics they possess and by the characteristics they do not possess. For instance, you are not likely to see a horse with antlers on it growing in its head. You're not likely to see a deer with a trunk like an elephant. If you do, it's some kind of freak thing. It's not according to nature. And so you're seeing that when God said something and how things go, there are some things that changes a little, but we know this, that hell enlarges itself. That must be that God didn't say all of a sudden, you know, I didn't think humanity was going to go this way, therefore I didn't make it just for the devil and his angels. God knew he had, God knew what was going to happen. And by the way, he said, it says that hell enlarges itself. In other words, it's made to receive anyone who dares disobey God and not receive Him as their personal Savior. Today, the topic is about hell. And I want to talk about some of the things that will not be in this place. And I really pray, God, this morning early, I pray that you get such a picture of hell today that you are determined to keep as many people as you can out, and you can't do that if you don't give them the gospel. Amen. There's no such a thing as turning over a new leaf. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says for us that as we look at this, He says, what He says about hell is metaphorically. I don't view it as allegorically at all. Hell is that place that the Bible speaks of as a literal place. It's filled with literal people enduring unbearable pain that you and I can't even begin to realize. As a matter of fact, I don't think probably even see someone burn up in the flesh in this life in a fire would be as bad as hell is. Because you see, when a person burns in the flesh in this life, the soul and spirit leaves. But Jesus told us that He can kill both. Must be worse, hasn't it? Must be worse. And God give us insight to understand these things. Hell was not created with man in mind. Matthew 25:41 tells us that. It was created to the fact that Satan and his angels, according to what Jesus said. And yet the Bible teaches us that all who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, it says all who reject Christ, that's those whose not names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is their destiny in their life. Now, look at some things that hell will never have there. And there may be more, but I know these things are not going to be here. These are things that we need every day just about, but they will not be there. Sometimes people say, you go soul winning. Somebody will say, well, hell, I'm going to hell anyway. I'm glad because I got friends there. They don't have no friends there. No. There's no friendship in hell, I'll tell you that. You know, the people, according to what the Scripture sets forth, there's so much going on, and you'll see when we get through this. First of all, there's five things we want to look at. Number one is this. In hell, there will be no light there. And the Bible says that. Matthew 8:12 said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, someone says, well, preacher, wait a minute. There's fire. There's got to be some light. Listen, I don't know how God's going to do that, but He says it's outer darkness. It's darkness. Another place in Matthew 22:13. If you turn there, I want you to read that with me, Matthew 22:13, and see what Jesus says. If you look down about the pages going together. And notice He said, let's go back to start and look at this story so you know what's happened. This is the parable of the marriage feast. Jesus tells the story that there's a king going to give a feast, a marriage for his son, feast for it. He invites people to come. They turn him down, have other things to do. They made light of it, He says in verse 5. And He goes on, He sends them out again and entreat others to come in. And He said this time, but when the king heard thereof, he would look in verse 7, he was wrought. They, instead of listening to them, they entreated him spitefully, even kill them, destroy them. And so now He sends them out again. And then, watch, He says in verse 11, and when the king came in one to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment on. He's invited all these in. Now these come for the marriage supper. We know this is a story like that's telling about what's going to happen in Christ's day when the bride is brought before God, but it's a parable here to understand an earthly thing where you can know what's going to happen someday in the future as a spiritual thing. And he said, there's a man there didn't have on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not have a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that amazing? Someone said, well, suppose some people can't get to heaven and not be saved. Well, if I understand that, Jesus, He put a stop to that right there. He said, if somebody comes here and don't have a wedding garment on, you know what that is? The righteousness of the saints is imputed to us by Jesus Christ. If you don't have a wedding garment on, He said, cast him, he's in the wrong place. Bind him, cast him, and cast him out into outer darkness. That's what this talking a place about hell. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 17. Peter said, these are wells. That's he's talking about false teachers. These are wells without water. They're clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. These false teachers are teaching the lie about who Jesus Christ is. He said they're false teachers, and they're giving out information that they literally, their wells without water, clouds that have carried with a tempest, and he said they're in the mist of darkness forever. Then you look into Jude chapter 12, verse 12. There's only one chapter there. Jude said, these are spots, these false teachers, same line. They're spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, they feed themselves with fear, clouds that are without water, carried them with winds and trees whose fruit withereth and without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In verse 13, he said, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackest of darkness forever. Now, when you think about blackness of darkness, there's no light to be seen. How can that happen when you have talk about fire? I don't know, but the only thing I can say, how in the world can God say that you and I are in darkness spiritually when we see all the light around us here? Well, preach, that's the reason I don't believe that. And if a person not saved, they're just as much in darkness spiritually as one could be here in hell that day. Because you don't have the light. The only thing to bring the light is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when that's given to you, God, the Holy Spirit, starts drawing you towards the light. And that's what Jesus tells us. If you look with me in John chapter, go over back and look with me in John chapter 3. You remember what Jesus said about that light? Look in John 3 with me quickly. In John 3, he says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. He sees the light here, but there's another light from the spiritual world. And to the person who can see this light that's lost can't see the light that God's talking about, because they're in darkness. Their mind is completely in darkness about spiritual things. And God warns us along that line. Can you imagine never seeing light again? Lost souls suffering the darkness of hell for thousands of years and right on. In fact, he says ever and ever. Some people say, well, I can't believe it'd be that long. I don't know other ways. See, I'm not looking to trying to find words to change what those words mean. When God said heaven was forever and ever, then I believe that. When God said hell is forever and ever, I believe that too. Why? It's the same terminology. It just describes two different places. And so I go further and I see, can you imagine what it would be to suffer like that in that day? But what more fitting punishment could there be for those who love darkness rather than light, like I just read to you in John chapter 3? What a sad situation that people in this life love the darkness they are in, rather than receive the light that God says that would get them out of that spiritual darkness, so they don't have to worry about this place that God is talking about. He calls about for eternity, that he refers to as Hades in the Greek and Sheol in the Old Testament, place of departed spirits. And we know that there is a lower chamber, and we know there's fire and brimstone that's there. In John chapter 8, he said the light of the world will not be there in that place. He tells us also that the light of the gospel won't be there, for every heart has already been darkened. He tells us that through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that should get our attention too, because he talks about, but if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why? He said, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, when that gospel is presented to our heart and we receive it, that glorious gospel light floods our soul. You put the day you got saved, you were in darkness spiritually, but you heard the message, and the Holy Spirit brought the message of the gospel. And once you responded to that, God's light floods your soul. You see him now that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Where before you didn't see him that, but that the gospel was presented. You accept him as that way. And therefore, God tells us we have to be careful about life here, because without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. So in hell, there will be no light. Number two, in hell, there will be no liquids of any kind. If you don't believe that, Luke 16, we read that, portion of that. The rich man. The scripture says he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Why? For I'm tormented in this flame." Now it amazes me when I read this because he knew what water was and he knew what water could do, but he didn't have any. Nowhere where he was at did he have it. Where Abraham's at, we don't understand. Where he saw something there, I don't know. But we know Abraham's part, where Abraham's bosom was the part called paradise that God set up even back in Adam's day. And when Jesus Christ came on the resurrected day, when he went back to the Father, ladies and gentlemen, and sent the blood that's there, the saints of God left the upper chamber of Hades. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord now. And you see, the scripture gives us the answers of everything. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, when Jesus rose, he took those out of what is called Hades in the upper chamber where there is no fire, and he took them to be with him in heaven, because that's where he says he wants us there anyhow. But before that, they were contained because God hadn't finished his journey yet in giving Jesus Christ to this world. Contradiction of and torment of the doom, the only thing that will ever have in hell will be what remains in their memories. Isn't that amazing? Now, he knew what water would do, right? Did he not ask to have that sent to him? He couldn't get it, but he knew what it was. And the only thing he had, and that couldn't happen, the memories of what water could do. It could put out a fire. It could cool your tongue. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that'll haunt people? You think he's the only one to ever cry something like that out? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just fool enough to take God at his word. Amen. That's the reason why. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. As a matter of fact, if God lies about what he says about hell, he may be lying of what he says about his son. The world said, "Well, no, we got better sense than that. We just take what." No, this is not a buffet spiritual food. You just don't go through and pick what you want. God said there's certain foods you need spiritually, and one thing is the gospel. Another thing, you need Jesus Christ. And another thing, you need to follow the Spirit of God and partake of this particular book so we might grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Again, one can only imagine the torment of a dry, parched throat, swollen tongue that begs for a drink of water, and yet you can never be satisfied. The only thing he has is the remembrance of what water could do. And that's a double whammy. To be know you have a thirst and know there's something that could quench that thirst and you can't get it. God means what he says, folks. In hell, not only is there liquid, not only is there no light, there's no light, no liquidy. In hell, there's no lather. There's no lather in hell. I say, "Well, we just have a party down there." I'm sorry to blow your bubble. I'm not sure if anyone would think that, because there's not going to be no parties in hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it teaches in Luke 16:23, that says this rich man lift his eyes up in hell and cried out before God. In verse 24, he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." In Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Don't sound like that's a party, does it? In 13:42, he said, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In chapter 22, verse 13, Jesus said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He said, "Cast them out of darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You look in Revelation 14, verse 11, and John said, "The smoke," look with me, I want you to look with, first of all, I want to turn to chapter 21. Just turn to chapter 21 for just a minute. In Revelation 14, 11, John said, "The smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and forever." In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "A merry heart doth good like medicine," but there's no merry heart at all in this place that God calls hell. I read a story that amazing story. There was a man by the name of Norman Cousins. He got bad off, and according to the story, he was hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. I'm talking about lather. And he said simply this: when he was diagnosed, it was incurable. He didn't know what to do. He checked out of the hospital himself, and this is a true story. And he was aware of the harmful effects that the negative emotion could have on a body. And he decided he's going to take everything he could to have nothing but that which would be funny and laughter to see if it would do anything for him. And he reasoned that the reverse would be true, so he borrowed a movie projector and he prescribed, not the modern day stuff that we have, he prescribed but his own treatment by looking at the Marx Brothers films and old Candid Camera reruns. And he said it was over a period of weeks suddenly, they began to take note that it didn't take long. They discovered that there was 10 minutes of laughter provided, 2 hours of pain-free. And when they found out, they documented this, and amazingly, that his disease was after a period of time, his disease began to reverse. And when they found out about it, it said, after the account of the victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, and Kusin received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. God's right, isn't it? There is medicine in laughter. It makes you feel better. I guarantee you, if you can laugh a little bit when you feel bad, you'll feel better. Quit laughing. Maybe that's the reason we look like we do today. Amen. We need a little more laughter. Somebody said, we don't laugh in church. Well, it's better than moan. Amen. If it's in the right way. There's no such a thing as laughing at foolish stuff and ungodly stuff, but in the right way. So again, there's no in hell, there's no light, there's no liquid, there's no laughter. In hell, there's no liberty. Those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior are free forever. They say, well, if you trust the Lord, you're putting yourself in a spiritual straitjacket. I've heard that over and over and over. No, we're free in ourselves. They're already in a spiritual straitjacket because their destiny is going to be different where they're at because they're lost spiritually. And they can't understand it when God is a spirit. And you remember what Jesus told the woman at Samaritan? Well, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so we find that that in hell there's no liberty. In John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, Jesus said, you shall be free indeed. Those who reject Jesus Christ are chained forever. In Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, the inflaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Watch this, folks. Paul said this. And they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about flaming fire taking over those. In turn, ended up that do not know God and has not followed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, he said, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In Revelation chapter 10, 20, verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them. I want you to turn there with me. You need to see this now. And you'll see a little bit of the everlasting, what we're talking about. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and look with me in verse 10. This is after the millennial reign, and Satan has turned loose from the bottomless pit. And now, he says in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil now has been cast. He's put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's bad. But he says, now they're cast into, watch, the lake of fire and brimstone. Watch where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And notice, when you see that term forever and ever, it's continuous. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You go back with me, and we saw those who were with us last week. If you go back and look in verse 20 of chapter 19, he's talking about these being in the lake of fire. You know the false prophet, the Antichrist and the false prophet in verse 20 of chapter 19, he says, and the beasts were taken, that's the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Isn't it amazing? He had power on earth to fool people and giving great signs to get them to worship the Antichrist, and yet when God got through with them, they were cast into the lake of fire. And here, this is 1,000 years before we see 20 verse 10. And then Satan is cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone night and day. I like that term. For us to understand it, there's no misunderstanding. He didn't say, well, just when it's daylight or when it's night. God gave a term. There's not going to be any day and night when we get to heaven. And there's not going to be no day and night in hell. But while we're on this earth, he lets us understand it's day and night, forever and forever and forever and forever. And yet people want to turn that around. And say it may not mean something just like that, you know. You look at this and you find out these both were cast into a lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. The pain will be forever. The darkness will be forever. The thirst will be forever. The languish and torment will be forever. Folks, there will be no exit signs in hell. I'm sorry, there is no such a thing as purgatory from hell. You can't find that. The darkness will be forever. And you find that there's no escape from there. Once a person arrives in that place, he is forever and forever and forever. And Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 tells us that, shows us that length of time. I'm so grateful that my peanut mind can understand that. I'm so grateful that God, isn't it amazing? Person in hell, let's have some of this sweat I'm sweating right now. Isn't it amazing in hell, their heat be so hot and yet they can't sweat to get any water whatsoever. There's no escape. Everyone, the fifth thing I want you to see, every person, everyone in hell, every one of them are lost. But they didn't have to be. They didn't have to be. And I don't care what anybody would say and try to figure out what some people in foreign lands going to do in heaven's name. God loved the world. He gave his son to this world. They didn't have to be. You know the reason why they're like they are today? The saint is saved and protected in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's washed in the blood. The saints are not going to perish in hell. John 6:47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." In John 10:28, he said, "And I'll give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any of men pluck them out of my hand." The sinner cannot avoid God's punishment when they neglect to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's the only way. In Luke chapter 13, he said, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." In John 3:36, and I love that. Would you please turn there with me and look at it? And then I'm closing out right now. John 3:36, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, ladies and gentlemen, he that believeth on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you look in chapter 20, where I just read, he said in verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So John chapter 20, verse 15, and John chapter 3, verse 36, is saying the same thing. Except John 3:36 said more. "He that believeth on the Son," here he said, "and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Here he says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God's upon him." What we're saying, that name out of the book of life shows that they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, Hades and hell are not hospitals for the sick. They're not, listen to me, a place to have the New York party on New Year's Day. This is a prison for the condemned in the lake of fire forever. There is no light, there is no liquid, there is no laughter, there is no liberty. Everyone in hell is lost. They did not take advantage of God's grace in Christ Jesus to have this eternal life. The reason that they're lost is because they did not take advantage of God's wonderful grace. The difference is simply this. One believes and accepts the record that God gave of his Son. And I want to show you that record if you look with me in 1 John. And I'll read this, and this will explain it. I let the Bible preach for itself, and that's what it does. In 1 John, if you look with me down about verse 10, 11, 12, you notice he said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave his Son." Watch, one believing accept the record. That's what we have to do. By faith, we accept the record, the word, the record that God gives us. And he says in verse 11, "And this is the record, that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Watch that. And then he says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And when you looked, and he said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice he said in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's almost the same thing that you see he said in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide on him. What is the difference? It's the record that we've presented to our heart that we trust and believe. And believing that record, God saves our soul. He washes us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, things that will never be in hell that people need here. I'm so glad. Not only I see the side that where punishment was made, and there's degrees there too, no doubt. That's what's happened at Great White Throne Judgment. They're raised, deaf, hell, and the grave give up the dead. And those who will be judged then according to the works, and these books there, according to the first part of Revelation, in chapter chapter 20, he said there at that time, these books that were there in verse 12 of chapter 20, and he goes through and tells us at this particular time, they'll be judged out of those books. So why is that? It seems like the now person leaves this earth, they go to that place and by to the day that God calls them back at this great white throne judgment and passes out degrees of punishment. There's no hope here. If they ever have any sign of not any deliverance at all, it'll be that few minutes they stand at the great white throne of judgment and hear them God say to them, or Jesus say to them, depart from me, and they go into everlasting eternity. I beg of you. I know the day you don't hear messages like this, but you can't preach about heaven without preaching about hell. Because, ladies and gentlemen, and I can say this, what I've said to you this morning is just a small part of what God says in His Word. And what I want you to know is this, for us here, to let us get a burden, because we don't see that this is real. And so somebody spits at us and talks about it. If that happens, well, by the grace of God, just leave and pray for that person. Amen. And God will count it on your chart when you get to heaven, because He's... why would He use us as human beings who've been saved, so fickle as we are, to give the gospel? I don't know, but that's His plan. He planned it that way, just like He has a plan of salvation. I talked about, you know, H2O's water. Well, God had a plan of salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him, thou shalt be saved. He has a formula for everything. And that's how a person is saved. Without trusting Christ, there is no salvation. So I ask you today, please let God speak to your heart about this place. You say, preacher, I thank God I'm not going there. I do too. But help me see others. You and I can't see them like Jesus saw them. He hung on the cross. Even those who would hang him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he'll burden your heart. If you understand the truth about heaven and the truth about hell, and Jesus stands in the middle between the two, saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You'll know that's the only way they're going to hear. And God will use, if nothing else. You say, I can't talk. Get a tract with a gospel message on it and just give it to somebody. Stand to your feet, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most serious message that anyone can preach. Maybe it should have been preached and talked about heaven later. I am so glad when I have to preach about hell, I'm so glad that I can tell people they don't have to go there. I'm so glad. Give me some more volume. I'm so glad that I can tell that there's a place that's called heaven we can call home. Think about that. Think about that. There's a heaven. But God said He prepared a place for the devil and his angels. And it's enlarged itself. Out of the 7 billion people that face on the earth today, I wonder how many billions of those are not saved. Of our own country, the record we're getting from missionaries across the world who come back and report more people getting saved in these foreign lands than they are here in America. Most of the messages here are self-help in America for people rather than salvation messages. My Heavenly Father, I've done this. I've fought this, but I've done it. I know you'd preach on hell years ago, and every revival you had, you'd have at least one night preach on hell, one night preach on heaven. And there'd be people who'd come to the altar wanting to be saved. But our hearts have become cold. Somehow or another, we believe the lie that Satan gives, that there's no power in the gospel message anymore. And there are so many telling us there's no use to do that. You people are just, you're in the old age now. You're in an age that's not today. We know better. We have a little more enlightenment. We see things different. And don't realize that Satan is a powerful being. He's a deceiver. The Bible tells us he can transform himself into angel light, so can his own workers. Heavenly Father, help us stand by the stuff. Help us love people to the place that we want to see them saved. And if they turn us down, then our job's done. Every person I talk to that turns me away, I've done all I can do for that person. And we have to take it that way. And though we're in the last days, we talk to a lot of people. One of these days, as we talk, we know God's going to let another person come to know Jesus. And that's the reason we don't give up. Father, help us understand that you aren't kidding about this place, just like you aren't kidding about heaven. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us. And he said, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that you can be me where I am. We believe that. But that prepared place is for prepared people. And prepared people are those who've asked Jesus to come into their heart. Help people not to mock that. But say, Lord, I don't understand a whole lot about it, but I want to know more. Because I want to be sure when I die, or if the Lord should come back, that I'm going to be with him. My mother and daddy and others, and maybe some loved one have told me about Christ. I want to be sure. And I'm glad you said we can know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.